Double M Live, episode 117, man. The train continues to roll. It's your hosts. It's Mr. Mike Nice. It's DJ Meez. Brother, how you feeling?
Jag. They don't know about Jag yet.
Nah.
We're going to throw Jag on a shirt. And you know, Jag works for the fellas, the ladies, because you could be just a guy.
Or
you could be just a
gal.
Gal, girl, whatever you want to call it. Jag.
Jag. I like that.
We worried about
shirts
that.
Shirts coming soon, man. Oh, Mike, you know, we've had a lot of great episodes as of late. Shout out to the guests that we've had on board. Make sure you guys check out Wise, who came on here, spoke to us about the battle rap. Make sure you guys checked out Lockzo, who came on here the following week after and spoke to us about fitness and health. You know, the train keeps going. These episodes are great. We're going to continue to push those episodes out. But we're back here, man. Just you and me catching up. There's a lot of things we got to catch up on that we've missed that we haven't spoken about in a few couple weeks. A lot of shit. If you excuse my language, a lot of things that have transpired this fall season has been weird. And you know, we're gonna take some time to just break that down and speak on it. I guess we could start off with the Migos, man. You know,
yeah,
rough some news,
heavy duty news for sure. As most people know by now, Takeoff from the Migos was tragically shot and killed, I believe, last week. Mm-hmm. I'm drawing a blank on the day, but last week, you know, as we record this episode, November 8th on this Tuesday night, I forgot what day last week, but like I said, Takeoff from the Migos, a group that, you know, has been very relevant and in the media, in the news, especially in the culture, with the music and whatnot, over the last several years. We've been listening and hearing the Migos since
early college, bro.
Early college, you know. I remember being at parties or being in the rooms or being at pre-games or chilling.
Bro, fight night.
Fight night.
About,
oh, Marvin Knight.
Fight night, bro. We made a whole thing about fight night. When fight night came to the in on the club or party, everyone would look at Mike. And why?
When that song Fight Night dropped, Marvin and I had a whole dance routine. You know, people from fraternities or whatnot. They clear the room so people can line up and do their whole step thing and whatnot and go off. When Marvin and I hear Fight Night, we clear the room, clear space. And you know the song, if you know me, you know, and it's just Marv got his hands up like this, and I'm there, bang, bang, man. I'm gonna knock the, you know, fighting, you know, Marv and I. Every time we hit it, still to this day, I don't care where we are. If we hear that, all I gotta do is find Marv. Where's Marv? Let me find Marv. And Fight Night, come on, and me and him get on to.
I don't even know how that started.
I don't know. It just made sense. I don't know. Just Fight Night got your fist swinging and. Like I said, that's early college. You're talking 2014, yeah, 15. Like, that's how long people been rocking out with Migos. And like I said, very relevant, prevalent group for a lot of people into hip-hop. And to hear the news that a member from that, you know, iconic group passed away is sad in itself. And then you hear the news on how he passed away. That brings on a whole nother level of sadness and just disappointment and just shock. And a lot of different emotions came over me. I know they came over you, came over, you know, everybody that, you know, I talked to about the whole situation. And it's just, and we're going to get into it for sure. And of course, we want to hear from everybody tuned in on the live, your thoughts, feelings, and opinions, but it's just a very sad situation. And obviously this situation is sad with Takeoff losing his life, but it's the trend that is really killing me right now. And since this, you know, since his death happened, you know, just thinking about the trend of these black men in this genre of music that continue to lose their lives in a similar fashion. And it's like, now it feels every month something like this has happened. Every month we get the same type of news of some kind of situation, and it's killing me right now to think about it, talk about it. We're going to dive into some more, but share some of your thoughts and feelings, Marvin. You got the news. And
yeah, it's just, it's like another one. That's pretty much what how you feel. We just were on this couch talking about PNB Rock, you know, and I remember saying, like, yo, it's like 40% or 50% of the people you listen on the radio are deceased now. They're no longer here with us. And you add Takeoff to the list, and Takeoff, you know, who Takeoff was out of those that group. It's like he was the most calm, relaxed, nonchalant, non-confrontational guy out of the whole group. It's unfortunate. And he was getting his flowers. He was just getting his flowers of someone who can really rap. I mean, Quavo and Takeoff just dropped an album. They just dropped an album that's really good, Infinity Links. And to see that, you know, he's no longer here with us. Another rapper gone. More, it's becoming a trend. And what hurts the most out of all of this is, speaking for me personally, I wanted to grieve. I wanted to be emotional. I wanted to cry and all these things. I just didn't feel anything. And I love Takeoff. I love the Migos. I'm a big fan of the Migos. Like Mike and I say, like, it's like I grew up with them in college. They came out around the same time when I was in college. So I grew up with these dudes. And to see them where they are now, and not being able to feel because this is starting to become a trend and it happens all the time, is crazy. The way I felt when Nip died, fast forward to how I feel now when Takeoff lost his life, is completely different. Now, Takeoff's death ruined my day. I'm hurt for it, but it's like, damn, this is now it's just another rapper. Next month, next 2 months, we're going to hear about another rapper. And it comes down with violence or shot or killed. And it's complicated to understand how this is becoming such a trend. I don't understand, like, how it gets better from here. Until you know, hip hop comes out and starts talking about how we need to do better, nothing can really change.
And I think that last point you just brought up is the biggest thing that I think maybe will make a quick, immediate change, but something needs to shift. Something has to shift. And I remember, you know, in our group chat talking about this. Different genres of music, country music, rock and roll, what other genres are out there of music. Hip hop, rap is the only genre of music where artists continuously lose their lives in a similar fashion. Yeah. Like, that's just the honest truth. I'm not hearing about rock and roll artists getting shot and killed. I'm not hearing about country artists getting shot and killed. I'm not hearing about jazz artists getting shot and killed. Like, it's only happening in rap and hip hop. And you know, with something that people will always say, well, you know what? Rap and hip hop, a lot of the music and songs that come out, they glamorize and glorify a certain type of lifestyle. And you know what? That's the truth. Some people rock with the music. Some people don't rock with the music. But a lot of the times, yes, the type of music that these artists will come out with glamorize a certain type of dangerous lifestyle.
Yep.
Yes, that's sad because you got young kids listening to it. But at the end of the day, they're in the entertainment business, and I'm not saying that the type of music they're making is good or positive entertainment. That's a whole different conversation we could get into. But at the end of the day, we're talking about celebrities who make millions of dollars. Whether they rap about good stuff, bad stuff, these are celebrities who make a lot of money. Takeoff, PNB, Rock, Pop Smoke. Like, these are all people in this genre of music who make a lot of money. And unfortunately, and there's probably rappers that I'm not even thinking about that lost their lives. But unfortunately, outside of the music and what they're doing to entertain the masses to make their money, a lot of these guys, unfortunately, are in situations and environments where it's like, what are you doing there? Why are you, let's take the PNB. Ever since the PNB situation happened, I know we had an episode about it, but I've listened to different interviews and whatnot of just people talking about the situation. And anybody who's talked about the situation keeps saying the same thing. Someone like PNB Rock had no business being at that Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles. No business being there. Because where that is in Los Angeles, I believe, very dangerous spot. And somebody as high profile as him, there, bunch of chains around his neck, pull up in a nice car. It just wasn't a place where PNB Rock should have been. The Takeoff situation and everything, you know, I don't know if all the facts has fully come out with that, but from what we've heard, he's in Houston, 2 a.m., chilling at a bowling alley, playing dice. Again, don't know all the facts and everything that's gone on, but, you know, having a conversation with different people, I'm assuming the Migos take off, they got a crib somewhere, mansion, where if they wanted to invite people over to hang out, sure, do that. A bowling alley in Houston at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to be at a bowling alley at 2 o'clock in the morning. And like,
here's my thing. It's complicated.
It's very complicated.
And, but like, here's always my thought process on this. And I know people think I'm naive, but Black people should be able to wear expensive jewelry. Black people should be able to go out and bowl till 2 o'clock in the morning if they would like to.
They should.
Black people should be able to get into arguments without losing a life.
That's very
like,
true.
All of these things should be the norm. The fact that we are here and we have to say you shouldn't be at this spot to eat, or you shouldn't be bowling past 2 a.m. because of your life could be in danger. I think that's where the issue
very sad
stems.
It's very sad.
That's where the issue should be stemming at, and that's what we should be talking about. Is why, how did we get to this space where if I want to wear expensive jewelry and show off my chains, I should be able to do that.
You should.
I made this money. I want to wear this. I want to flaunt it. I should be able to do without the next man wanting to rob or kill me.
And that's the sad part. We live in a world where I agree with you, all that stuff should be, you should be able to wear what you want, eat where you want, and not have to look over your shoulder and stress about your life being in danger. But unfortunately, that's just not the world we live in. And then you got the whole conversation of, and I hate bringing this up, but then people talking about like PNB Rock to go back. Oh, he was at that Roscoe's Chicken and Waffle, but he didn't check in with the people around. Like, the conversation go all over the place. At the end of the day, I'm going to bring it back to what you brought up. As a hip-hop community, culture, more artists within the genre have to speak out on what's going on.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, Takeoff passed away, PNB Rock passed away, Nipsey passed away, Pop Smoke passed away.
Young Dolph,
all in a similar type of fashion. But the music and whatnot's gonna keep on rolling out. People still gonna be making songs about bang bang, shoot shoot, you know, take this, like that type of music still gonna come out. When are the artists who are making this type of music and seeing, in a sense, their colleagues continuously lose their lives in a similar fashion, when are people gonna come out and start advocating against continued violence over nonsense? No, you shouldn't be trying to go shoot somebody over a chain around their neck. No, you shouldn't want to pull a gun and start shooting over a dice game or a simple art. Like,
it's sus because, like you said, it gets deeper, right? Because now you're talking about record labels and what record labels want to hear, what record labels are going to push within the music. Sure, you want to push positivity. You push that. We're not going to push your music. It's not what sells. I'm an old rich white man. You're telling me that this is the lane, sex, drugs, and killing is what's gonna make me money?
Let's keep it going.
This is what we're going to do. Because if you won't do it, guess what? We'll find the next one to do it. There's a million of you guys. We're going to find another black kid who wants to get out the hood. He's going to glorify what he's been living through. And we're going to make money off of him. And that's how the cycle goes. Every single time. You want to push onto positivity, don't want to rap about that no more, that's fine with me. We'll find somebody else.
So how do you feel about the whole conversation of, like, because you talk about someone like in Nip situation, or each kind of like the P&B Rock situation, guys who make all this money, you know, lavish lifestyle and whatnot, but continue to want to be living or hanging around or moving in the same hood or same environment. How do you feel about that conversation? Because there's some people who say, hey, Nip died in a very unfortunate way and whatnot. But there's people out there who be like, yo, Nip should have never even been back there in that situation. P&B Rock. Shit, he should have never been at that Chicken and Waffles. I'm not too familiar with how young Dolph passed away.
He was getting cookies in his hood. He was getting cookies and they.
So there's a lot of people who come out and be like, yo, you got all this money and you know where you got out from is a dangerous place or environment. What are you even doing back there in that environment, knowing who you are? And I agree with you. You should be able to get cookies. You should be able to eat at Chicken and Waffles. Nip got a store in his own hood and whatnot. You should be able to go buy your store and whatnot. But there's people who argue, man, they should never even gone back there. You from Cali and whatnot, you grew up, you make all that money, you should go live in bumfuck Wisconsin. That's what people will say. You should go live in the middle of a freaking Utah. Or, you know, just move to the burbs where you don't have to be stressed about, you know, people obviously who look down and frown in upon your lifestyle or jealousy. Because sometimes a lot of this stuff that goes on is jealousy. I think in the P&B Rock situation, might have been jealousy. He pulled up in a nice car with chains on his neck and people wanted them chains. Like,
a lot of it stems from jealousy. To answer your question, I don't know. Because as someone who, and you and I both work for our community, mm-hmm. you know, we're both in youth development for our community. I can't picture myself doing the work I'm doing if it doesn't involve my people. So I'm going back to Nip. What Nip did wouldn't be meaningful if he did it anywhere else. I mean, it wouldn't be as meaningful if he did it anywhere else. What makes Nip a legend is for what he did with his community, or did for his community, mm-hmm. for his people, to inspire many in his community. And I believe that the kids there that were around Nip are going to take what he did and try to be better and try to do better. The unfortunate thing is there's not many Nips. There's not many Nipsey Hussles out there. There's more people who rather take from you than earn what Nip had. Nip worked hard to get to where he's at. These rappers worked hard to get to where they're at. And in our community, we stem things through jealousy and say to ourselves, well, they say to themselves, he doesn't deserve that shit. Or it should be mine. And you take another person's life. Yeah, you could leave, right? You could leave. You could go away. You made your money, go away. And that's probably the safest and smartest route. But internally, when your family and your friends, the people you grew up with are like, dang, he just left us. That affects people.
Yeah.
Internally, it affects you. Because that's who you came up with. Or that's the people you love and you cherish. I mean, in the ideal world, they understand completely. And they don't put that, you know, those thoughts and guilt over your head for you to, you know, feel like you have to come back. But who doesn't want to go back home? Like, who doesn't want to go back to where they come from? I know sometimes when we get older, we're going to be like, yo, this is where I grew up. This is how I did this, that, and the third. And I guess, you know, that's not the cards that was dealt to us. And that's it's sad. It's really sad.
I see our boy here, Tex.
What up, Tex?
In the comments saying, what's sad too is that people make a joke on social media like there's a meme going around saying clearly, y'all have never played dice before. People are basically validating the situation.
And then if you validate a situation, you don't validate life.
For people who are making a joke like that, Takeoff should have never lost his life. I don't care if it's dice. I don't care if it's Uno. I don't care what the game being played. No one's life deserved to be taken away. And again, I don't know if all the facts are out. I know the rumors that are out. You know, I'm not gonna sit up here and, you know, speak on rumors and what may or may not have happened. But at the end of the day, like Marv just said, you don't value life if that's the route you're gonna go. Talking about basically saying, well, Takeoff shouldn't have been around a dice game. That's not how I want to view the situation. I want to view the situation more so. Why did anyone's life need to be lost that night? It's just like I said from the beginning, and you know, actually go back to what Marv said. He lost his life and people felt sad about it. But the fact that these things constantly happen, which feels like every other month now, it doesn't hit you the same. I remember how people felt when, like you said, Nipsey passed away. And at the time, I knew about Nipsey. I wasn't big into Nipsey. But I saw the effect it had on people.
I saw
the effect it had on you. You know, you see the outpour of sadness and emotions through social media, different people you talk to. Like, Nipsey passed away and it had people really hurting bad. And I'm not saying people are hurting over Takeoff in his death, but like, everybody got sense to kind of see the difference in like how the emotions are hidden, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are unfortunately numb to this revolving door of rappers losing their lives in similar fashion. It's unfortunate, Because, you know, you're not necessarily trying to be numb to the situation. But, like, the way things continuously pop off in this world, in this society, in this genre, in this hip-hop culture, that's how people are starting to feel.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I feel for, you know, the whole Migos community, obviously. I feel for Atlanta. Hip-hop, we lost a good one. And this one's going to hit a little different due to the fact of how big Migos is. Like, this one is... Migos has songs relevant right now. Like, they're smash. They make smash hits. So we're going to be... And not to undermine any other artist, I'm just talking about how popular Migos is. Like, we're going to be listening to Migos for a very, very long time. They're always going to come on. And now when they come on, we're always going to be like, damn. Damn Takeoff. And I think what hurts the most is not only did we lose Takeoff, but it feels like we lost. It's the end of Migos as well. That's the feeling around it. It's like, wow. We just lost something special. And that's what Migos were. Migos were special. They were fun. They were energetic. They brought a different wave of sound to us. And it feels like that got taken away from us abruptly. Age 28.
In their prime. A lot more music to be made. Like, in their prime, 28 years old. I'm trying to think if there's ever been a situation where a group like lost a member like that in their prime. Like when TLC lost Left Eye,
yeah,
similar type of situation.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think right now that TLC is the one that jumps out to me the most, because TLC, and I'm trying to remember, TLC may have not been together at the time when Left Eye passed away, but obviously TLC is still like, okay, like maybe they're not actively making music. Like Migos, as a trio, they weren't actively making music right now. But another thing that's kind of different from TLC, these dudes are related. This is family. Obviously,
they all grew up together.
You know, family in their prime. Like I said, music still to be made. And I agree with you, Mark. There's part of me, probably for most people, feel like nothing with Migos or music, it won't be the same. Because they lost a huge part of what brought them to this level of fame and what really caught the attention of the hip-hop culture with everything they were dropping. Like, it feels like things won't be the same. Yeah. Especially not for them, for the group, for Quavo and Takeoff. I mean, sorry, not Takeoff.
Offset.
And Offset. It's, I don't know. Like I said, I'm thinking, I just watched Migos on wrestling. The three of them was on an episode of like Monday Night Raw. Jumping around the ring with Randy Orton. I think it might have been a Raw that was in Atlanta. So they brought out Migos because they're from Atlanta. And I vividly remember them with Randy Orton and them in the ring just having a good time. That's the last time I personally remember seeing the three of them together. And that was definitely several months ago. And again, you just say it's Migos. Like, oh, they're part of my early young adulthood year, like they're part of us.
Yeah, part of our lives. We all grew up together from college on. They're our age. They're our age group.
Yeah, it's just tough. But like you said, you got to feel for the Takeoff fans, the Migos fans, you know, the family members, because like I said, they're family. You know, they just lost a relative. You know, we here at Double M for sure send our condolences. because that's not as never an easy situation. Never an easy situation at all. And it's easy to sit here and be like, yo, enough is enough. This continued snatching of young lives, especially in the hip-hop culture and rap culture, must come to an end. I keep seeing people post, you know, on their stories and whatnot, like, when will black men's lives, you know, stop getting snatched away at such a young age? Something like that. Especially in the hip-hop culture, because you got to think about it. All the dudes we just listed and talked about, none of them cracked 40.
Bro.
Some of them barely cracked 30. Takeoff, 28. And Nipsey, early 30s.
33, yeah.
Pop Smoke, early 20s.
Yeah, 21, 22 maybe.
I know
X,
Young...
XX was young.
Yeah, like young. Young 20, Dolph was mid-30s, I believe.
Mid-30s, yeah.
None of these dudes crack 40. None of these rappers in the hip-hop culture who passed away in similar fashions cracked 40 years old.
It sucks, man. Like, these kids are, like, our rapper generations, luckily, for the most part, we're getting to see them get older. We're seeing the Jeezys, the 50 Cents, the Nellys, the Ja Rules. Like, we're seeing, like, yeah. Like, we're seeing them, eight Lil Wayne's. Like, we're seeing them get to their age where now they're, you know, music slowed down for them a little bit. They're becoming fathers and, you know, taking care of their livelihood. And we're seeing them as adults and stuff. And, like, we're getting to see that, which is a blessing. Obviously, we were babies and kids when the Pac and Big E's, Big L's, Big Pun's passed away. Our generation, really, they're getting there. Now, these kids, these high schoolers and younger, all their rappers are getting killed.
And then that brings up a whole nother question. Like, what's the difference of how the rappers or what's... You brought up a group of people who are aging, you know, gracefully in a sense, the Waynes, the Nellys, the Eminems, the Fabulous, the Nas, like, yeah. what is the difference in
like that 2000s era?
Yeah, like, we're seeing these guys, some of them continue still making music, you know, maybe not on the same level of and pushing out as frequent as they were before, but they're still involved in the genre, making music, maybe producing music, like, they're still involved. So it makes the question, what is the difference of how they're moving compared to these young guys or guys coming out now that continuously lose their lives left and right?
And the question, could it just be shit luck? Could it just be luck? Like, they were able to get, like, because... The Jeezys, the Gucci's, and all these guys.
They all rap the same type of stuff.
You know what I'm saying? They were living the same type of lifestyle.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's definitely begs to question why this era is dying at such a higher clip. Yeah, crazy, man. Takeoff's funeral will be this Friday. In Atlanta, I believe, at the where the Hawks play. I'm forgetting the name of the arena.
Not the State Farm.
State Farms Arena for Takeoff. So definitely be on. It's gonna be sad. That's gonna hurt. That's when it might hit a lot of people. But yeah, rest in peace, Takeoff. You know, sucks that we have to say that, but. We pray for the family. We pray for healing for them.
Absolutely.
We still got more of Double M to get to, but at first, a word from our sponsors.
This episode of Double M is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Basketball is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events. Bet NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. Head to BetOnline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Welcome back to Double M Live. You know, that wasn't an easy topic to get through. Speaking on Takeoff, how are you feeling, bro?
Tough topic, tough situation, but you know, we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we don't have that conversation here on our platform. So I'm happy we were able to talk about it.
All right. Another thing that's been spewing up, Mike, let's get a little more lighter into the conversation. I don't know how light. I don't know where this might go.
Yeah.
I don't know where this
got
might go.
Tiptoe on this conversation. Yeah.
Kyrie. Whoa. Kyrie has been in the news, man.
Again,
and it only took maybe 4 or 5 games into the season. But I tell you, I have him on my fantasy team. The 5 games he gave me, oh my God.
He blessed.
He blessed. And that's the risk when you have Kyrie on your reality team or your fantasy team. You know something's going to happen. I'm going to run by quickly what happened. Kyrie, well, first, you know, something's been in the air with anti-Semitism due to Kanye. So the talks has been, Bella, you can laugh, it's okay. It's been in the air. Kanye's been talking real reckless. And I want to, before we even get to Kanye's situation and Kyrie's situation are completely different. Completely different. All right. So it's already been in the air. You know, there's been something spewing. The stove was hot. You know who Kanye is. It's on everyone's mind. Kyrie posted on his Twitter.
Get the name right.
Get the name right. In the group chat, I might have misquoted it a little bit. But he posted a film called Hebrews to Negroes. Correct?
Yeah, that's the right.
All right. Hebrews to Negroes. And in the film, there are a lot of anti-Semitic tropes within it. There was talks that the Jews created the Holocaust and, you know, part of the KKK and had slave trade. It's a lot of really nasty things on Jews. Obviously, it's other parts of the film about, you know, black people and where they come from and such like that. Kyrie had posted it. Here's the issue. I think we all know Kyrie didn't watch the damn film. I think we all know Kyrie ain't watched that film. Someone probably told him about it. You know, he saw it. And, you know, Kyrie's one who believes he's very enlightened. And he posted it out there. A storm came. Because obviously people are going to watch it. This guy's got millions of followers. One of those millions of followers is going to go,
what's this that Kyrie posted?
What is this? Saw that. It became wildfire. Here's where things got bad. Kyrie, being Kyrie, refused to acknowledge any wrongdoing of posting such things, and started to get in back and forth with reporters. He, you know, rejected that he was anti-Semitic, anything like that. A lot of word vomit. You know how Kyrie is. A lot of word vomit when he speaks, and you know. It was going to lead to a suspension. You could feel things starting to rise. It was going to lead to something. The NBPA came out, said something about it. His owner, the Joe Tsai, owner of the Nets, came out and rejected such call. Then Adam Silver came out and said, look, me and Kyrie going to have a conversation. The day that happened, it was crazy to see my timeline. Adam Silver comes out and says he's going to have a conversation with Kyrie. Couple hours later, Kyrie has another press conference, and it's bad.
That's where it went left for him.
That's when it was just the man just wouldn't apologize and say, he was like, yo, I'm not afraid of the cameras, the lights, I know who I am. And I can't even remember. He said a lot of things in like 3 minutes. Do you
A lot.
remember?
It's just a lot of I acknowledge who I am, and the cameras and you media people don't scare me. You're not gonna tell me, who I am because I know who I am, and
Beacon of light.
I'm a beacon of light. That was the thing. I'm
Beacon.
the beacon of light, and just a lot of I know who I am.
Right.
And one of the reporters was basically like, yeah, cool, but are you gonna apologize for posting that? And he's basically like, I don't have to apologize for anything. I could basically kind of say, I can do what I want. I don't have to apologize for anything. And the reporters are like, we get that, but what you posted had a lot of anti-Semitic stuff in it.
Right.
So like, we get that you could do what you want, but are you going to apologize for posting that? And he basically was like, no, I'm not apologizing for anything.
So then
Yeah.
the suspension happens.
Oh yeah. And
He gets suspended
NBA said,
5 days.
oh yeah?
Yeah.
You're not apologizing? Bet.
Because at this point, look, at this point, everything that's going on is all Kyrie's doing. It's all Kyrie's doing. If he had come from the jump and just say, yo, guys, I don't agree with those things that, and he did say that, like he doesn't agree with half the thing. And I apologize. I didn't mean to harm anyone. I didn't mean to harm any of my friends. This is not what I believe in. That's all he needed to do. And this, I promise you guys, this would have went away. It would have went away. However, he refused to do that. He gets suspended. After the suspension, Kyrie finally apologizes. Too late? Yeah, but he apologizes. He mentions how, he should have never have done it, blah, blah, blah. He's gonna work with something. He's gonna donate money somewhere. Whoever, wherever he was gonna donate money to, they rejected it. They said, we don't want your money.
For real?
Yeah, they rejected that. They said,
What's your petty fake
we don't want,
apology money?
we don't want that. So they spent it 5 days, and now the recent thing that's going on is now the NBA has come out and is giving him like a laundry list of things he must do. He has to come out, make a public video apologizing. He has to donate money to another cause. He has to meet with people from the Jewish community. He has to take media training. He has to do some Jewish training as well. It's a laundry list of things that he has to do now in order to come back in play. So there's a lot of things, Mike, we got to break down. Let's leave the NBA punishment for the second half. Let's talk about Kyrie, the initial things, and what the hell's going on with him?
Kyrie is a human being. Kyrie is an American.
All right, okay. All right.
And in this country, there's freedom of speech and whatnot that this country has for its people.
Okay.
And Kyrie uses his freedom of speech a lot and says a lot of different
The man
types of
can
stuff.
talk. The man can talk.
He can definitely talk. I don't know if he agrees with what he posted or doesn't agree. Obviously, he came out and apologized and said that he doesn't agree and this and that. But at the end of the day, you posted it for a reason. I know you were saying he probably didn't watch it, We don't really know, but you posted it on your social media for a reason. How stupid can you be? Knowing the world you live in, knowing the organization you work for, did you think that no type of backlash or conversation was going to come from that? Like, you would think for a man who talks about how enlightened and how smart he is and the power of reading, I have a superpower. That's what he said in an interview. I have a superpower, and my superpower is I can read or something like that. You would think a guy who talks it like that and speaks like he's so enlightened, has all this knowledge, you think you have the knowledge and understanding to realize you post something like that, you think people are just gonna say, oh, okay, yeah, cool. knowing what the movie and stuff
entails,
Kyrie wasn't thinking. And unfortunately now he wasn't thinking. He has to deal with all this stuff that's come about. And some of the stuff that's come about now is unfortunately also Kyrie paying for his past transgressions. Because I don't think, regardless of, you know, the apology and not apologizing and whatnot, if it was another player that this happened to, and I know you said we're going to get into the NBA stuff
a little bit. We could get to it, though, since you're here.
I don't think an NBA would put another player through all the hoops and loops and checkpoints and this and that they're putting Kyrie through if it wasn't for what Kyrie has done. And I'm talking specifically about the whole vaccine situation. He pissed off the Nets. He pissed off the NBA. Nobody in the Nets organization, I'm assuming the majority in the Nets organization, and I'm assuming a huge majority in the NBA, was happy about how Kyrie handled that situation. When the rest of the other employees of the NBA fell in line for the most part and did what they needed to do, you had this one, probably described as a one bad apple in the bunch,
yeah,
who want to fight the power and go against the rules and not play and speak out. And he probably pissed a lot of people off. And now Kyrie is in this situation where the Nets and the NBA is kind of like, yeah, Kyrie, you did something stupid, but we're going to get you back for what you put us through before. Which is why now they have him. You got to meet with this person. You got to meet with that person. You got to do this training. You got to donate money. You got to do, like, now they're putting him through the ringer. But it's unfortunately because who Kyrie has been to the Nets, to the NBA, to the league for the past year, 2 years.
Right. No, and couple things with me. One, I think the 5-game suspension is, I think, reasonable. That he forced the NBA's hand. I think everything else is bullshit. Everything else that the and I know JB. Did you hear JB's presser?
No.
On it yesterday? I know JB came on yesterday in post game, and you know he's ruffled feathers too, but he came up and said that, you know, the NBPA is going to appeal what they the punishment for Kyrie, because it's not just. And I agree, the punishment is not. It's not now you've gone too far, NBA. Because what it looks like now is we're gonna get this man. We're gonna look at all these players and say, this is what happens, y'all, when you cross the line. And we're gonna dehumanize Kyrie Irving. We're gonna make him apologize in video. You must apologize in video. You must go to this. I don't believe Kyrie's anti-Semitic. To my hearts of hearts, I don't believe he's anti-Semitic.
I believe Kyrie's a lot of things, right, but I don't believe he's that.
You know, like I, in my hearts of hearts, I think Kyrie is a good person. He's done a lot of good for this league.
Yeah,
he's done a lot of good for this league. Mike, you bring up the COVID thing that pissed a lot of people off, and that's true. Think about what else he's done for the league. For the league, for the community. He's one of the faces, or was one of the faces. And you put him out there, and he's very charitable. He's done a lot for even the WNBA community. Like, Kyrie is very involved. Could be out there, yes, but he's done a lot of good. So for you to dehumanize him now for this situation, try to make an example out of him, and it's like, he's crossed the line. I personally, especially as a black man, I personally have a off feeling about it. When I saw the report, I said, okay, now they're dragging it. They're doing too much. And I hope that it does get appealed, and that they, you know, they see that they're doing way too much with suspend him and move on. Or if you don't want him on the team no more, you get rid of him. But to make him go through this, like you said, the ringer, to make him go through the ringer, I don't understand that. Another thing, I have sensitivity for is why did Kyrie go through this, right? Why did he post this thing and stuff like that? From a lot of the word vomit he said, one thing that stuck out to me throughout all this, like, yo, I was just trying to find history of my past. I was just trying to, I was looking at where I come from, da da da, and this is how it happened. White America won't understand this. A lot of Black Americans do not know their history. I'm gonna take a second to think about that. A lot of Black Americans do not know their history. Our history was stripped from us. Stripped. So it takes people to have to go on the internet and look things up and try to find where they come from. I come from an immigrant background. My parents come from the Ivory Coast. So I'm blessed enough to know my family's history, my lineage. I can't relate to that. But a lot of Black Americans don't know their family history. They don't know where they come from. Like, I couldn't imagine what that feels like to not know, where you originated from. And Kyrie's not the only one like that that's looking for answers of where do I come from? Where does my name derive from? Where does Irving, all of these things, a lot of people in this country are trying to figure out. So I have a, I don't know what the word, sensitivity for that as well. That look, man, this is a reality that a lot of people you won't see on ES people on ESPN bringing up and stuff because they have just no idea what that feels like.
Hey, you're right. Because, like you said, you got a lot of, Black Americans who their history cuts off from, hey, my family and our last name came from the slave owner, and we took on this last name, and bam, that's the rest of the history right there. And yeah, I guess that's history, but there's a lot of people in this country couldn't tell you nothing prior to that because they have no idea. They just know everything that's happened from being on this land to now, in a sense. So I completely hear what you're saying. And so, what you're saying is true. Can you really blame Kyrie for trying to maybe look up and gain more knowledge?
No.
No, you can't. Is that a conversation that people or, white America is ready to have? Probably not. And again, I agree with you. I don't believe Kyrie's anti-Semitic. He's done too much for the community, too much for people to look at him and be like, ah, he must feel a certain type of way about, like, nah, I don't think so. And the thing with the NBA, like, he apologized. Yeah, he apologized after the fact. But he apologized. So you telling me the NBA want him to come out and apologize again? Which is again goes back to the fact that I definitely believe they're doing this to Kyrie, making him do it. You're making an example out of him for sure. But they're also doing this to him because, in a sense, he's put the NBA through so much already. Because of the whole not getting vaccinated saga that took place. Like I said, within the league, within his own organ, the Brooklyn Nets organization, within the league, he got a lot of people pissed at him. I don't know. I mean, and obviously, I was having this conversation with somebody who I work with. Obviously, you take everything away, you talk about Kyrie Irving, the talent. Obviously, that dude is one of the greatest talents to ever play basketball. But, like, with all the stuff he's done during the pandemic and the way he speaks out, and then this situation, if it wasn't for that player option that he, picked up for the Nets this current season, it's a very good possibility, is a chance Kyrie's not in the league.
Bro, absolutely.
If it wasn't
Absolutely.
with his $30 million, whatever it is, player option that he had in his contract that he picked up with the Nets. Is another team gonna give ready to give Kyrie a 4-year, 5-year max deal? I don't know. There's teams that don't even want to trade for him. And you had the whole vaccination saga that took place. Now you have this whole thing of now people probably think Kyrie's anti-Semitic. Like, once this current contract is up, because at this rate, I don't know if another team's traded for him. And once this contract is up this year, I wouldn't be surprised if this is the last year Kyrie Irving's in the NBA.
That's very possible.
The only thing that, again, maybe gives him a slight chance is you talking about a guy, like I said, who's, he didn't make top seven, NBA 75. I don't believe.
No, he didn't.
He did not. He should have. And it maybe some of who Kyrie is, yeah, is part of the reason why he didn't make 75. This whole different conversation. Kyrie should definitely be on that list over Dame Lillard. Yep. But anyways, there's a chance. This is the last year in the league for Kyrie at 30 years old. Because he speaks out too much. He goes against the league and he beats by his own drum. I think that's the saying. Or something like that. And he's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But in actuality, Kyrie's able to talk about whatever he wants, do whatever he wants. Like, I don't necessarily think he's not hurting anybody. No. And at this rate, Kyrie needs to, you know, start his own podcast and talk freely and do whatever he wants. Because sooner or later, like I said, quite possibly, the NBA is going might blackball him. And that wouldn't shock me if Kyrie gets blackballed and is no longer in the league because of how he's moved over the last 2-3 years. And it's very unfortunate. Like, you know, it's old news, but the whole vaccination thing, was Kyrie necessarily in the wrong for not wanting to get vaccinated? No. But the way the NBA will paint it, he was the bad guy. Here's the guy refusing to work. He's refusing to go to work. He doesn't want to, you know, play for his team. Like, they painted him in a sense as a bad guy because he had, no, I don't want to get vaccinated. Like millions of other people, right, in the world have probably done. Obviously, high profile athlete, celebrity, but just like millions of other people have done or said, no, I don't want to get vaccinated. And then you got this situation where he posted something, he probably didn't have enough knowledge. You know, he initially didn't want to apologize for it. Because he felt like he didn't have anything to apologize for. But then he said, okay, you know, I do apologize. I probably shouldn't have done that. But still painted as, you know, a villain in a sense. And now, he suspended 5 games. I think I read today he has met with Adam Silver.
Yeah, he met with today, this morning.
I don't know what else he's done on his checklist of things he has to accomplish. But like, it's wild for Kyrie right now. You would hope that this is something that could just get put behind the league, put behind him, and he could just get back to,
yeah,
being a you know, NBA player and showing off his talent and trying to help his team win. But right now, he has a dark cloud over him for things he's done in the past and now this situation.
Yeah, it sucks because now he's a target. Whether when he comes back, reporters are going to poke. People are going to poke. They're going to poke to see
any little thing,
you know? And it's like, I'm not going to tell Kyrie to shut up and dribble. But conspiracy theories got a fucking chokehold on this dude.
Like, his social media is under a microscope right now.
Like, he needs to just, I don't know. He needs to lay off the conspiracy.
But the thing is,
lay off the YouTube.
Yeah, but the thing is, he has the freedom to do all of that. But obviously, at the end of the day, you got to understand, you work for an organization. Like, you work for the NBA. If you want to leave the NBA and you want to, like I said, start a podcast, and talk about your conspiracy theories, and you have the freedom to do that too. But at the end of the day, you work for the NBA. So anything you do, say, is going to have to get checked and examined, and you're going to have to go through it and have to answer to them. Like, they suspended them 5 games without pay. So,
we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I think we're going to have some updated shows on this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
This Kyrie situation here. I love that, you know, we kept keep an open mind on it, and we'll see what the next. I really hope I don't see him have to do a public apology and such. That's just, that's crossing the line for me, especially after he apologized.
I would hate to see a video come out on IG or something.
That's the meat.
Pull a Will Smith.
Yeah, it's demoralizing.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm like, he already came out with a statement and apologized. What else he needs to do?
That's it. Yeah, that'll be enough for me. Let's close it off, Mike. Let's close the show off with a favorite segment of ours, the stars and sorries of the week. Mike Nice, what is a sorry?
If you are a sorry, a double M sorry, maybe spill some gravy on your brand new fresh pair of kicks.
Damn.
Maybe got some ketchup on a fresh white tee.
Dummy.
Maybe it's raining and you're walking down the street and a car hit that puddle and it splashed all over you.
I've been that guy.
You know what we tell you in those type of situations on Double M?
Sorry. And a star?
You a star on Double M? You're the guy. You're number one. You know, you might have had a great achievement. You might have had some great success, put up some great stats. Something that brought achievement, accomplishment, success your way. We're going to call you a double M star. And you want to be that, because that's an awesome award.
I love it. I love it.
So let's get right into it. Double M star of the week. I have a guy in mind.
Okay.
Who just came out with a movie. Probably already know I'm going to go with this, but...
You got to be kidding
the
me.
The movie continues to do numbers, Mark.
Yo, you're not that ass right now.
The movie continues to do numbers.
I can't escape this shit.
And I know you don't like the guy, but you got to put respect where respect is due. Have you seen this movie yet?
I seen the movie, bro.
You seen it?
Yes, we had this conversation. I seen the movie.
You saw Black Adam?
I saw Black Adam.
And what you think?
It was all right.
Dude said it was all right.
It was all right, bro.
It was probably one of the best DC movies to drop.
That's not saying much.
Jeez. You saw it too? You didn't see it?
I don't like it, bro.
You didn't like it?
It's all right.
Hey.
It's just a movie that came out. That's it.
It's just a movie.
Maybe,
damn.
Maybe I'm slightly biased because I'm a big DC guy. I'm a big rock fan. And the guy put out a movie that is the highest grossing movie with him as a leading man. And he's put out a lot of damn movies. A lot of damn movies. Yes, we've had this conversation a few times. But like, the movie's doing crazy numbers. And for a guy who, again, me personally, I followed his career as The Rock, the Wrestler, winning championships, headlining pay-per-views and WrestleManias and all that type of stuff, to then a guy to shift over to the movie side of things and make all types of movies that have made a lot of money, but then have this movie come out. And like I said, he killed the role. I've said this on previous episodes. I'll say it again. These might be the movies that The Rock, especially in his whole buildup of being muscular, these might be the movies he needs to make moving forward and just stay in that lane as the modern day Arnold Schwarzenegger. But I got to give a double M star to Dwayne The Rock Johnson, because that Black Adam movie was solid. And like I said, I think he's found his niche in terms of being, you know, an action superhero, muscular, just F shit up type guy. He's killing it. So I gotta give Dwayne The Rock Johnson a double M star of the week. Movie making crazy money.
Yeah, decent movie. It's a crazy action movie. That's all it is. It's
not solid for DC.
Yeah, solid for DC. I would have done it different ways, but hey, who knows? Who knows? It's funny. It's like we did this together. We both don't know each other's list at all, but I am in the movie realm as well when it comes to the star. And my star goes to Viola Davis. She is the lead in Woman King.
I need to see that.
Man, I am telling y'all. I
need to see that.
Woman King is probably my favorite movie of the year. We still got Wakanda that's about to drop this week.
Got my tickets.
Me too. But yeah, Woman King. I think Woman King was an amazing movie. Viola Davis, her role. First of all, when you see Viola Davis, she plays a very, you know, a lot of like dramatic roles, drama roles. So seeing in an action movie and the connection she has with her daughter in that movie is crazy. Awesome, awesome movie. I enjoyed every second of it. Like, if there's a random weekday and I'm not doing anything, and if I see that movie still out in theaters, I might go watch it again. I really, really enjoyed it. I definitely suggest, Mike, that you watch Woman King. It's dope, based on a true story as well, so, which adds more to how dope that movie is in West Africa. So, for that, I give Viola Davis and the whole team that made Woman King a double M star.
Need to see that. Remember coming across the trailer and was like, yo, this movie looks freaking amazing.
It's really good.
So I definitely need to make sure I watch that.
But when there's the good,
there's the bad.
And when you're bad on this show, we tell you
sorry. I got a sorry. And it took me a second to kind of come across or think of something, but I got one now because it's killing me. This sorry goes to the LA Clippers organization and specifically Kawhi Leonard. I'm a huge Kawhi Leonard fan.
You're a fan of everybody.
When that guy has played basketball and is healthy, he has been a force of nature. I think we've had this conversation. Like, he's accomplished so much in a very short period of time. 3-time NBA champion, 2-time finals MVP, multiple-time all-star. And I don't even know if he has 10,000 points in his career.
No. He's like, I always say this.
Defensive player of the year.
He's going to be weird to rank. He's going to be a weird guy to rank when he's done.
All those, he's maybe not top 50 in scoring all time. No. Rebound, like he's... But he has hardware.
Yep.
He has hardware. But just to fast forward to right now, Kawhi Leonard has yet to play meaningful basketball. This season has started, and he's only played 2 games. And he played those 2 games, and after missing a whole year already because of a knee injury, he's out again dealing with knee management, stiffness, some kind of whatever. And sorry to me, you know, because he's killing my fantasy team.
It's okay, bro.
I drafted him having hopes that he had a year off. He's coming back fully healthy, ready to go. So sorry to me. But then sorry to the Clippers because this is supposed to be their year.
Yeah.
Clippers have a very good team. You know, Paul George is still there playing at a high level. You got John Wall back, who obviously they're not expecting him to be John Wall of Washington Wizards, but he's still producing at a solid rate. They got a bunch of wing players who can score and play defense. I think Tyronn Lue is a solid coach, former player. You know, he's won a championship as a player and as a coach, I believe.
Yep.
They have a great team over there. And the one solid piece to really put them over the edge, I believe, is a healthy Kawhi Leonard. And the guy has just been MIA with a knee injury. Similar in a sense to Robert Williams. All summer, time to heal, time to get right. And the season has started, you know, in Rob Williams' situation, I don't know what happened, but he had the whole summer and he still ain't right and ready to go for the Celtics. But this is Kawhi Leonard. All summer to get ready and right. The reports were good. Talking about, oh, he's in the gym. He gained muscle. He's big and buff now. Like, he's ready to go play two games this season. And now has just poof, gone with no timetable to return. So, still early on in the season for the Clippers. You know, maybe he'll come back. But, like, right now, they obviously want to see what their team looks like fully healthy, and they're not getting that opportunity. So, for the Clippers organization, who is stressed right now because they have no timetable of when their star player will be back, to me and my fantasy team, because I was banking on Kawhi to come back and be who the Claw is capable of being, I got to give the Clippers, I got to give myself, I got to give Kawhi Leonard a big, fat sorry.
Damn, giving yourself a sorry.
I drafted him in. I drafted him in with high hopes that he'd help lead my fantasy team to success. And now he's just taking up a spot on my roster. Can't drop him.
No.
Can't get rid of him. So I just got to hold on and hope for the best.
My sorry. And this guy, this son of a gun, has been getting away with a lot. Because there's been a lot of scandals that have gone, that's undermined his activities. Whether it's the Ime stuff or Kanye or Kyrie and all these things. It's been brushing, people have been brushing off what this mother effer of Brett Favre has been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Favre's a sick man.
Yeah.
He's a sick man. We haven't had an opportunity yet to really speak on him and on this show. And I want to do myself justice and do more research on it before speak a whole episode on him. But Brett Favre's a slick bastard. He's been stealing a lot of money in the state of Mississippi, just through the businesses that he's had, the charities and everything he's done. He's been taking money for his own, gaining money. Now, recently, what just came out, I think yesterday or today, news came out that he's been has these concussion creams that's come out to help cure concussions, and he's been spiking the prices on them and taking money from the community once again with $2.1 million from the community. This should be a really big news. You notice the attention never goes on these glorified white athletes this is bad. We pay a lot of attention on the Ime scandal. We pay a lot of attention on Kyrie and the Post. None of it touches to what Brett Favre is potentially doing behind the scenes right now. Stealing
from the poor. Stealing from the poor to basically help himself.
Help himself.
Stealing and taking from the poor to help himself. That's like the main headline of what he's doing. Like I said, similar to you, I don't know the full details of the situation, but I think the overlaying headline is he's taken from poor to pretty much help whatever. Like, I swear I read, like, he took money from the poor to, like, help fund his daughter's, volleyball team or something like that.
There's a bunch to it, and this is the latest thing with the concussion creep. This guy needs to go to jail. He needs to go to jail.
Yeah, there has to be some kind of consequence for what he's doing.
It's really bad. And Brett Favre, look, Brett Favre's not just anybody. He might be the most, if it wasn't for Brady's like 8 rings, whatever, 7 rings, he might be the most popular football player of all time.
Yeah.
Like, Brett Favre is that guy. So there's some protection around him. I don't care about none of that. We need to really start, you know, putting the magnifying glass on Brett Favre and all the businesses that's going on and really, you know, put his hand in the fire, because this is crazy. So for that, on this show, we're going to give Brett Favre a big fat old sorry.
Yeah, Brett Favre, what you're doing in the dark got to come to the light, and you got to pay for what's going on over there in Mississippi, because stealing from the poor to feed your own mouth in a sense.
Yeah, that's not. And, yeah. And Brett Favre was rich.
Yeah. Hell of a career. Made a lot of money in his career. All the other endorsements he has. He's in the Hall of Fame. Like, you got money. The fact that you need to steal money for yourself, kind of mind-boggling. But what's in the dark going to come to the light, Brett Favre. So be ready. And if people ain't going to do it, I promise you who going to do it. Double M got your ass.
That is Double M live, brought to you by Bet Online AG. We here at Warm Studios as always. Appreciate everyone for watching. Thank you for tuning in to Double M.
Please make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe all the content that we're bringing at you.
Double M to the moon.